You got your Bibles, you want to read with me. A couple places I want to read from tonight. I want to read from the book of Job, chapter number 14, verse number 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. If you will turn with me to the New Testament, I want to read from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, and verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such as one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but not forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? Read to you first of all in the book of Job, and the Bible says, Job is speaking here, and he said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Then I read to you the account of Paul, when Paul began to tell us about some of his trouble. Paul here, the verse that I want to point out, if I can, for just a few minutes, I won't be long. I want to look at verse number 7 again, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We look at that verse and we see that Paul says here that there is something here that is given to him. And he says it was a thorn in the flesh. We are not told, and as far as I know, no one knows exactly what that thorn was. There's many commentarians will tell you of different things. Most of them, I think, and Brother Meyer sitting here, and different ones might be able to speak more qualified than me on this subject, but the thorn that most commentaries say is usually a rare eye disease, some kind of fleshly affliction. That's what they will tell you, but we are not told if that is even so. All we know is that it was spoke of here when Paul says that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I want to look at that thorn for just a few moments. The thorn in the Bible days, in the particular scripture verse that we read talking about this thorn, was he was speaking of a sharp wooden stake. It was to torture or to impale pain on someone or something. Not only does we stop there at the thorn, but look what Paul says. He goes on to say, and the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now that word, that little word that's stuck there right in the middle of this verse called buffet me, that verse, that word, it simply means this: to strike with a fist, or to mistreat competitively, to mistreat over and over again, to strike with a fist. So Paul is saying here, Paul said in his own words, he said, Lord, he said, this, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Not only was it a thorn in the flesh, but also the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He is saying that we all know what it feels like to be pricked with a thorn, but yet I'm afraid that that's not what Paul was speaking of, because when we speak of a thorn, most of us, especially me, I think of a briar, or I think of something that getting pierced my skin, but that's not what Paul was stating here. Paul was stating in his day that, Lord, this is as a sharp wooden stick. This is something that has pierced me. And so I'm afraid that the mindset of our day is of being pierced with a thorn is simply a briar. But in this day, it was pierced with a wooden stick. But he does not stop there to say it was, Lord, it's like a thorn that's in my flesh, because we think of a thorn that we get and it's just momentarily, because it's not long and we're able to remove it from our skin. But this one Paul speaks of, and he says, Lord, it's so painful that it's almost that Satan uses it to buffet me with. It's so painful as though it is like a sharpened wooden stick that he comes at me daily and over consistently puncturing my flesh. And Paul says here, Paul says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart it from me. And Paul understood that there was a pain of this buffeting. Paul understood that the personality of that pain was simply the buffet of it, was simply the thorn that was in his flesh. It was the nature. No one knows, like I've already spoken, exactly what that was, but we do know that it was something that when pierced, and it was something that afflicted him to do his ministry and his work that he felt the Lord had called him to do. Amen. One thing we do know about this thorn, it was given, and it was given to him. It was given to him by the Lord, but yet it was carried out by Satan himself. When the Bible says that the messenger of Satan to buffet him, we know that in many times you've heard it preached time and time again about this thorn in the flesh that Paul had. We've been taught and we've heard it over and over again about how it was there to keep him humble. Paul says it that way himself. Paul says, at least I should be exalted above measure. He says here, if I did not have this, this was given to me. It was given to me for one purpose, and that purpose was that I should not be exalted above measure. Amen. He looks at that and he says, I know, Lord, that there's a purpose in it. I understand that there is something about this pain, but I want you, I also don't like it. Amen. Well, the Bible says that Paul spoke and he asked the Lord thrice to remove it from him. Amen. That we look at the personality of it, it is painful. But then you step one step further to look and understand that there was a place of it, and that was in his flesh. And that's where normally, amen, things that seem to affect us, isn't it, church? Amen. It is the things that come at us in our flesh. Amen. And I often wonder, amen, since we do not know for certain exactly what this sickness was, could it have been some of the same things that you face? I feel as though the reason that it's not stated in the Bible, that if Paul had a name his thorn, then we might conclude that the promise of God associated with that thorn was only good for ones that had the same kind of affliction. But yet Paul leaves it blank and he says, it is as though there is a thorn that is in my flesh, and the Satan as a messenger has came to buffet me time and time again. Look at the personality is pain. Amen. The place is the flesh, but yet the persistence you must also look at is the buffet. That word buffet. Look at it now. It is a verb. I'm not a school teacher. I'm not very good at English. But if you look at the verb that word buffet is, it's as though it is a present tense and with an active voice. And so it's saying it now. It's saying there is something that is, feels as though it is a fist that striketh me over and over again. Amen. Paul's letting us know that the pain of it is so unbearable. The pain cannot seem to leave. I cannot seem to get relief. But then he steps in and says, it's not only painful, but it's in my flesh, and it's persistently overtaken me. Amen. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. We must understand that the things that we be called unto the endure may not be over in 1 hour. They may not be over in a couple days. It may be as though Paul is. It may be a long period of time. You may never get it taken from you. And now it's so hard to understand
just why that this has been placed upon you. It's so hard to understand why, Lord, is this upon me? Amen. But I want you to know that there was a purpose. Amen. There was a purpose of this pain. And this pain was that it might, but the buffeting of the pain, the purpose of that buffeting is that it might keep him humble, that he might keep himself. Well, the Bible says that he would not exalt above measure. Amen. Through the abundance of the revelation, it was given to me a thorn. It was something that was placed there that he would always remember. Amen. You're doing a great work, Paul. You're doing mighty things. And you must always remember that the glory is not to come to you, but the glory is to come to God himself. Amen. And that part Paul understood. Paul understood that he must be buffeted, and he must have that thorn that he might keep him humble, that he might not be exalted above measure. The phrase means exalted above measure, to lift oneself above one's place. Amen. Because of all the blessings Paul had been given, amen, verses 1 through 6, and because of all the mighty works in which God had used him, you must understand it's dangerous, Paul, for you to understand that you can never be, amen, above your place. And your place is a minister of the gospel. Your place is that you are sent by me, but you are not me. Amen. And so for him to keep his place, amen, the buffeting and the thorn that was placed there that seemed so painful and it seemed of no relief, amen, there was a purpose, Paul, and I know you don't understand it. I know you can't see it, and neither can you. Neither can I. We look at our sicknesses, we look at our affliction, and it's so hard to understand why me. Anybody ever been there but me? Anybody ever asked the question, Lord, why me? Why my help? Why my family? Why my finances? Amen. We've been there. I think we all could raise a hand tonight and say, I know what you're talking about. That's where Paul was. And Paul saw that so real and such a reality that Paul, look at what he says. For this, verse number 8 of chapter number 12, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Not only was that buffeting to keep him humble, but that buffeting was to rejuvenate. And that word rejuvenate simply means renew. To make young again. To restore to a youthful. To make new. To make fresh. To make renew again. Notice that Paul's trials drove him to his knees. Paul's trials simply kept him in a place that he was always seeking God for his help. For if it had not have been for this thorn, if it had not have been for this time in his life when he recognizes this thorn in his flesh, look at what we miss. Here's the purpose. Here's the purpose. I'm almost done. Bear with me just a few more minutes. Here's the purpose. The purpose is simply this, Paul. You must understand that if you had never asked God to remove the thorn, look at what the Bible says with me. Verse number 9. And when he had asked, verse number 8, for these things I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Verse number 9 is the answer to the question. And he said unto me, and Jesus said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, the purpose was, there's a promise, and the promise is my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. And that's what we must understand in this hour that we're in. It seems like our world is upside down. It seems like everything we try to do only comes back to be wrong. Everything we try to get ahead on seems like we fall one step backwards. But oh, let us not forget that that's where Paul was. But Paul did not allow himself to become weary. Paul did not allow himself to become so endeavored with this pain that it took his eyes off the prize. It took his eyes off of Jesus. He did not allow that to happen. But Paul understood when he got to verse number 9, there was given to me the choice of the word given is interesting. When someone is given something, it usually reflects as a gift. I don't know that I'd want that kind of gift to you. And the Bible says, and it was given unto Paul a thorn. If you back up and look at it, that's what the Bible says. It was given unto me a thorn in my flesh. I don't know that if anybody would raise their hands and say, I'd want that kind of gift. gift, but aren't you glad for the promise that he has also given? He has given a promise that says, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. The promise of his grace being sufficient. Amen. Not only does it mean that it's the promise of his grace, but he also says that the promise of a divine sufficiency. That word sufficiency simply means adequate provision or supplies. I'm able to take care of you. I'll take care of no matter where he is. My grace is sufficient. The word sufficient means to be possessed of unfailing strength to be enough. The Lord is telling Paul, I know you have a big task. I know it seems like you can't make it, but I want you to know that I have the power to help you overcome. Amen. If I could get us to understand tonight, Paul's pain was simply inflicted by a thorn. But Paul, you must understand that your pain was there for a purpose. And your purpose is simply this, that there is a promise that God's grace is sufficient. How many know that we never had to walk down the road of death? We'd never know that God was able to comfort. If we never had to stand beside someone and comfort them, we'd never know that God's grace is able to comfort them. If you never had to walk down the road of low finances, you would never know that God's grace was able to make a way of escape. Amen. If you never had to walk down the road of sickness and loneliness, you'd never know that God's grace is sufficient. And that's what you must understand, and that's what Paul understood, is in his time of seeing the thorn that was in the flesh, he understood that it's going to be bad. But if he had not have saw, amen, the thorn in the flesh, he would have never asked God to remove it, which means he would have never got the promise, my grace is sufficient. His also, the Bible says, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. Simply means that God gets more glory for using those things which are weak and confounding the wise. Simply means that God is able to display his power and strength through a weak vessel like you and I. Aren't you glad to know tonight that God has the power to help us? Aren't you glad to know tonight? I wish I had a better sermon, but this was on my heart. And I just want to tell you, I know I'm not jumping around a lot, but I want to tell you tonight, for those here tonight that don't understand why it's so painful, you don't understand why you walk that road of loneliness, and you walk that road and it seems like, no, Paul felt, Lord, it's every day. It's not just momentarily, but God, when I wake up in the morning until I lay down at night, it's there. It's as though there's a wooden stick that pierces me like a hanging over continually, over and over again. That's how Paul felt. He felt like he could not take it anymore. You ever been there when you felt like you took all you can take and it seemed like I just can't take no more? That's where Paul was. And Paul understood that, and he comes to the Lord. And the Bible says he does not come just once. Read it. Verse number 8, the Bible says, and he came thrice. He said, Lord, I've already came to you. I know you already heard me. Amen. That's what we're doing up here tonight. You see that as the sisters was praying, Lord, I know we've already prayed for him. I know we've already heard him, but I'm going to come to you again because that thorn's still there. That's what Paul's saying, Lord, I don't understand it. I've already asked you to take it away. Look at what wonderful things I'm doing for you. I'm doing your work. I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. I'm trying to be and find myself in the will of God, and right here in the will of God, watching people come to you, watching people be healed and being saved, and I still feel that dagger that is in my side. I don't understand it. It's so cloudy to me to understand why me. But Paul must understand that if it had not have been for that thorn that was stuck in his flesh, he would have never understood how wonderful the grace of God was. And oh, there'll be a day you'll turn around and you'll look back down memory lane, and you'll remember the times that you went through it. You'll remember the times that you stood alone. You'll remember the tears that you cried. Even the houses that you visited, you'll be able to throw your arms around somebody and let them know that there is a God that will make every provision in the time of need. Even that is by his grace.
I said God's grace is still sufficient. One more thing. He understood his pain. Well, there was a purpose, Paul, because you got a promise. But one thing that I like most of all is Paul saw in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, of righteousness. Now look at this, of righteousness. But look what else he says. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Look at Paul here after he had been through the thorn in the flesh, after he had went through the piercing of the buffeting of his side, or whatever it was that inflicted pain upon Paul, that whatever it was that affected his ministry. Paul now, after he makes it through his life journey, he turns around and says, now I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. But what I like most is he says to her, the Lord, the righteous judge. Lord, I can look back and still say that you are a righteous judge. I didn't understand it, and I may not still understand it, but I can still say with faith, because of grace, that you were a righteous, and you will be a righteous judge. Amen. Shall give me at this day. Now look at what it says. Not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. Amen. Paul, you must also see that there was a promise, which was God's grace, but now you get to accept the prize of getting to go to your home that you one day sought for and you lived for, and you said, I'm going to make it, even though I'm going to take every step will be a painful step. Every time I have to go out and stand, we don't know what it was. We don't know if it was some kind of affliction that kept him being able to speak to a congregation. We don't know if it was some kind of affliction that kept him from walking or kept him from talking. We don't know, but whatever it was, amen, he fought the battle. He said, I fought a good fight. Amen. I kept the faith, and now I am ready to be departed unto my heavenly home. I want you to know, Paul says it best when he says, I entered with the handicap. Whatever it was, it kept me from doing the perfect will of God that I felt was needed for my life. But yet, now I can say, I have kept the faith. I did not become weary in my well-doing. And I'd like to encourage you tonight to know that in your pain, I know you don't see it. I wish I could tell you the way I feel this in my heart. I know you don't see it. I know it's so hard to understand, because the devil likes to throw everything he can in front of you and get you to doubt that pain is for any purpose or whatsoever. But the purpose is that you know God's grace is sufficient. Have you ever been in a situation and you had someone come up to you and put your arm around you and tell you they know what you're going through, but yet you don't even feel that they know what you're going through? Does that make any sense at all? You sense that they don't know what they're saying. But oh, there's times when I've had people put their arm around me, and when they said it, then sometimes they didn't even have to say it, because you felt it, and you knew that their spirit witnessed with yours. They know what I'm going through. They know what I'm up against. They know the battle. They know the pain. They know what it feels like to go sleepless nights. They know what it feels like to be so ravished and so wrecked inside your mind that you can't even think straight, and they understand it, and oh, the sympathy that is felt. That's the way it is, my friend. There'll be a day that you'll get a look back, and we don't know who, and we don't know how, and we don't know when, but there's one thing for sure. We'll get a look back and say, I was a witness to say God's grace is sufficient. I went through my pain, and it was hard for me to see my purpose, but the purpose was God's promise that someday, not only give me grace here, but give me the ability to win my prize. Would you stand with me all over the building? I'm done. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. I wished I could have delivered my heart the way I felt it. But Lord, I pray that whoever it is that needed to hear this message, I pray, God, that it would speak volumes to their heart.